By the time Claude Debussy wrote La Mer in the first years of the 1900s, the orchestra had been around for several hundred years, and there were some pretty sturdy conventions about how to structure a piece, about how to combine textures and sounds in the orchestra. Well, with this piece, with La Mer, Debussy ignored those conventional structures, he flaunted the rules of orchestration, and he created a whole new world of sonic possibilities that composers have been drawing on ever since. Ted, could you take us through a few of these moments that really showed Debussy's creative genius in this piece?
Well, Fred, let's do one moment from each of the three symphonic sketches. Notice that Debussy didn't even call these movements or a symphony. It's La Mer and it's three symphonic sketches. And the whole way he conceives of the music is so original and so remarkably organic that it's hard to go into the piece and just hit something cold, because it develops from the very beginning of the piece to the very last notes in one tremendous, wonderful, imaginative arc. But let's listen to a few passages in which that genius of orchestration and that totally unorthodox approach comes to the fore in a very immediate way. From the first movement, there's a wonderful passage where Debussy uses the cellos playing up high and divided into four parts, and he creates the effect of a sudden sound echoing across the water by having the horns answer the cellos and do a little swell at the end.
It sounds so simple, just that little moment, but the cellos come in with the chord, it's backed by the timpani, then the horns come in and echo it. You hear the echo coming back across the water, and then the timpani swells again.
Yeah, and then the horns swell again. And it's just a poetic moment. It just makes my hair stand on end.
If you don't mind, Ted, I'd like to hear this one more time.
Let's hear it.
It's just a simple little moment from about 4.5 minutes into the piece, but I get a little buzz up my spine every time I hear that. That's from this first symphonic sketch called From Morning to Midday on the Sea. The second sketch is called The Play of the Waves. And there's a moment in this where you hear, not melodies, you really don't hear melodies as we usually think of them all the way through the piece, but you hear these swirls and eddies being traded back and forth in the strings and the winds, and then just gusts and surges of sound, just like the ocean.
Here it's about texture, and you can well imagine that you're not looking at the sea in this movement, but you're actually in it, and you're experiencing the way the current moves and the teeming life beneath the surface.
It's hard to stop, because that's the way this piece goes for about 23 minutes. There are all these little surprises that come up, swim around in front of you, and then swim off into the distance, and something else is surging up in front of you.
It's a wonderful play of texture throughout this piece, and a sense always of new discoveries, a piece that's so unpredictable, like the sea itself.
And the final sketch is called The Dialogue of the Wind and the Sea. And Ted, there's a section here where instead of the orchestra playing all the same rhythm together, you've got a lot of different rhythms happening all at the same time.
This is the last page of the final movement. It depicts the brutal, raw, amazing power of the sea when it is aroused. And here in the orchestra, there are at least 5 or 6 different rhythmic groupings that are going on simultaneously, much as it would be if you were in a boat tossed in a storm. Well, here the strings are playing in one rhythm, the winds are playing in another, the brass are playing in several different rhythms at the same time. The effect is magnificent, and then through it all, the trumpets shoot up the chord in flutter tongue triplets. It's like an electric shock at the end of the piece, and it's one of the most amazing gestures in orchestration that I've ever encountered. And believe it or not, it all works.
these multiple rhythms are like overlapping ripples and waves coming from different directions. I love the way you get the feeling not only of the beauty and the power of the ocean, but that sense of threat and danger even of the ocean.
There's that feeling of danger, and yet it's exultant at the same time.
Now, there are dozens of recordings. We're going to hear the Boston Symphony led by Charles Munch, and I guess what distinguishes this one is he gets all of those complexities right.
Yeah, well, Munch was a marvelous interpreter of Debussy's music, yet he never did the piece the same way twice. Each performance was an event in itself, and I can't imagine but that Debussy would have applauded this performance.